What is prayer? Is prayer just mere communication with the Lord, or is it a venting session, or is it a moment where we can really obtain His wisdom and His knowledge? Prayer is very multifaceted, but prayer has a deeper meaning than I believe what we truly realize. It is something that is not often explained over the pulpit regarding our authority and our responsibility within prayer. What happens when God has given us an instruction? What happens when we call on the name of Jesus? Is it just God answering our prayer, or is it a deeper understanding of the covenant that He established when He created the earth? When we begin to understand the covenant of God, we understand how the power of prayer truly works. And so in this, I want us to discuss, how does prayer really work? Now, once again, like I've always said, prayer, anything within life is always layered. It is just not one thing. But within this, I want you to understand by the end of this discussion, what is your authority and what is your legal responsibility according to scripture that you have regarding prayer? Let's talk. Welcome back. Welcome back. I am so thankful that you are here. This is Conquer Me Podcast. I'm Jennifer Jefferson. Over here, we talk about the joys of developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, all of this is about growing in God and really exemplifying His glory here on earth, bringing people into the kingdom, all these things. I am understanding more and more the more I walk with God and the more that I learn of Him, that He is definitely not one note, and nor are we. You know, I was sitting here thinking about the purpose of the church, and I'm still doing some studying about it, but I'll probably do like a little mini series about what is the purpose of the church. But the purpose of the church is not just one thing. It's not just for us to get gathered together amongst the saints to learn, but it's like 3-4 different things according to scripture, why we come together. It's actually more than that, why we come together as a body of Christ. So even within prayer, prayer is layered. And for me, that excites me. Anything in God is layered. I look at it as an onion, right? I don't know what other vegetables have multiple layers. If you guys know of another one, think of it. But I look at our lives and our walk with God and God Himself as this ongoing, beautiful, necessary nutrients, right, that we have. Now, most people will think, well, I don't think of onions as nutrients. There's a lot of great things in onions when you really kind of dive deep into it. But I'm just using it as an example. When you peel back the layers, is so many layers to it before you get to the core. And even the core, but every layer has so much to it. Every layer is important. And it's a simple example. Okay. I could have had a better example. Okay. But that's what came to my mind. In our walk with God and in God Himself, it is layered, and we are human beings. As human beings, we are layered. And so I'm saying this because never stop at one level or layer of understanding. Always see what else can you peel back to obtain more. It does not mean what you have already learned is no longer valuable. It just means now you have more to add on what you have learned. This is where we have to get to. There are some things in the body and in our walk with God where we realize we were taught incorrectly, or someone did not have the heart of God, all of these things, right? But in it, you have to understand there still is a lesson even in the misinterpretations of scriptures. There's still a lesson in what was taught incorrectly. There still is a lesson of all the stuff, right? There is still lessons in everything. We know that we can really rest in scripture when the Bible tells us that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. That love God and are called according to his purpose. So even if things where you're like, gosh, they taught me wrong or I did not know this, there's a reason for it. And God is like, don't worry about it. You give that to me and you continue to make me center. I'll work everything out. And that's how it is. So even in our prayer life, what we're going to discuss today, I want us to go a little bit deeper to understand prayer. Prayer is more than just communication. It is more than just calling on the name of Jesus, right? It is all of those things. We talked last week about the access that we have in prayer. To pray. Because of Christ Jesus, we know that we have access. We know that we are able to pray and hear God and actually know that our prayers are being answered because of Christ, because he ripped the veil, right? All of these things. It's not because we're just these wonderful people and we know how to articulate the word of God and we know how to say the right thing. No, it is strictly off of Christ. I need us to understand that. Our ability to access the kingdom of God and our privilege, that's a better way of saying it, our privilege to access everything that God has ordained, it is because of Christ. And I never want any believer to misunderstand or to even think or get in the position where you feel like what you have or what you will obtain or what God has given you access to is off of your good works. It is nothing that we can do to earn that amount of access. I need this to be very clear. That is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because there are some sectors of the Christian faith and Christian body where we put a lot of emphasis on our works. Now, our works matter. It really does matter. Like, here's the thing. If you're praying and the Lord tells you to do X, Y, Z, you have to do X, Y, Z, and it's based off of your obedience. Your obedience demonstrates your trust in God. I am going to obey what you have said. And it's knowing that whenever God gives us instructions, period, whenever we receive any type of instruction from the Lord and we execute, I want us to hear this, and we really fulfill and we go in and what he has said, we have guaranteed success. I know you're like, well, how do you have guaranteed success when just because you've done what God has said? And here's the thing. I want to make this clear. I'm going to pull up this scripture and we're going to go into quick points about covenants and our authority and our legal responsibility. But I want you to have this in your mindset when you're praying and God is talking to you. The reason why we move is showing God that we trust him and that we desire to follow him. But Joshua, I believe it's found in Joshua 1:5-9. And let me pull this up. And I'm reading from the NLT version. Joshua 1, chapter 1, 5-9. And I just want to give a little quick context. This is after Moses has died. So Moses has died. The children of Israel are now looking to go into the promised land. But now it is now Joshua's responsibility to take the children of Israel over to what God has promised his children. So Joshua 1:5-9 says this, "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." Here is the thing. How does prayer work? One thing is knowing that God will not abandon us and we will not fail. When we hear his instructions and we hear his voice and God gives us scriptures to meditate on, he is letting us know, look, when you follow me, you will not fail and I will not abandon you. It also continues to say in verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land, and I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Verse 7 says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions. Here's the thing. Be careful to obey all the instructions. Once again, a part of prayer is receiving God's instructions. And it's our responsibility, our acts are based off of what we believe, knowing that he has instructed us to do it, but it's our responsibility to obey it. Our obedience is letting God know we trust him. Because here's the thing, it continues to say this, do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, then you will be successful in everything you do. I'm sorry, that's scripture. Scripture tells us if we obey what God has said, we will be successful in everything that we do. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying that you will like the results. You may not like the end results of what has happened, but you will be successful. We have no other choice but to be victorious in the Lord because of Christ Jesus, because he has defeated. The enemy has no power and authority. He does not. But God has given us power and authority. He has established a covenant with us from the beginning of time. And all of this, when the Bible, I know people reference this as the new covenant, which is from Christ Jesus. But there are several covenants that God has made. Here's one covenant that some of us know. So I want you to think about when the whole Noah situation happened, and Noah was like, you know, the Lord told Noah, look, build a boat. I'm about to rain. Everything's about to die. I'm going to tell you what you need to put in the boat. But after that, the Lord said that he will not destroy the world through water. He will not destroy. And from Noah, he was blessed because the next level of lineage came from Noah. So this is all this stuff that is happening. And then there's another covenant. There's the Abraham covenant. So you remember Abraham and Sarah, they were supposed to have a child and they doubted and they end up creating Ishmael. And Ishmael, the Lord was like, that wasn't the promise. Isaac is the promise. They eventually submitted. Okay, God, we submit. Even though I'm old, I don't understand. I'm going to do it. So they submitted and they had Isaac. And the Lord made a promise and a covenant with Abraham that his descendants will outnumber the stars. And I'm paraphrasing. So his descendants will be as many as the stars. And truthfully, we cannot count the stars, right? So he was letting you know that the lineage that was come from him, but then also there was an immense amount of blessings. We in the body of Christ, we call Abraham the man of faith, the father of faith, excuse me, because he just trusted and believed in God. And there were more things that God promised to Abraham. There were more things that God promised even to David. The pursuit, God's promise to redeem his people and bring them back into a loving relationship was a covenant that he established with David. This is why Jesus is literally a direct lineage from David, from his earthly parents. So when God makes a covenant, it is so. Now, here's the thing. What is a natural understanding of covenant? Natural understanding of covenant is basically this. It is two parties agreeing to something. It is saying this is think of it like a contract. But here's the beauty about God. He understands that we are not always going to hold up our end of the bargain. He understands that we're going to drop the ball. He understands that. So a way to look at a covenant from the perspective of God is this. A covenant with God is a promise that builds a lasting relationship between the Creator and his creation while redeeming those that were lost back to the Father who loves them. So there's various covenants that the entire thing, the entire purpose of God's covenant with us is to restore us back to him. This is why we have grace and mercy. So part of prayer is knowing that, number one, this is God's covenant with us to restore us back to him. It benefits us. That is the covenant. It is us saying, I am coming in alignment with what you said. Last week, we talked about when scripture tells us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So the covenant is Lord saying, I am restoring everything that he has established throughout the Bible. And we'll probably do, maybe we'll do a series or something about covenant and the various covenants that are without the Bible and how does this impact us today? All of the covenants that God has established, I want to make this very clear and quick. All of the covenants that God has established throughout the Bible, it was fulfilled through Christ. The new covenant, it was fulfilled through Christ. Everything. So one day we'll have that, I don't know when, but one day we'll have a whole conversation about what all these covenants are. And it is God's promise. So prayer is our ability to access what he has promised. Prayer is our ability to understand his covenant. This is the foundation. The foundation is because of Jesus Christ, I have this new covenant where I have access to all of this. But what does that mean for us, right? What is our now authority? Because God is saying, this is my contract. This is what I will fulfill. This is what I will do. Now there's a contract. But the question is, what is our responsibility? And also, what is the expectation that the Lord has for us? Because we talked about what is the contract. There is a covenant. The new covenant that we have through Christ Jesus, so we have access to all these things, which are his promises, which is what he said he will fulfill. All of these things. But the question is, what is our responsibility? Now, the Bible is full of promises, and there are some promises that are conditional. He says, you will have to do this. One scripture that we use a lot in church is that God will give you the desires of your heart. Before that, it says, if you delight yourself in him, if you delight yourself in him, he will then give you the desires of your heart. There is a caveat. So with us, because of God being who he is and he has given us authority when he established earth. So I believe in using the word of God as evidence of any conversation that we have. So Genesis 1:28, it said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, every living creature that moves on the ground. So this scripture right here, this was the NIV version, but I want to say in King James, and it said, he gave them dominion. So God has given us humans dominion on earth. So going back to what it says in Matthew, I believe when Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray, it says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth. So when we are asking God for him to show up, once again, coming from a covenant, a contract, I need you to do what is happening in heaven, the kingdom here on earth, because we are now in partnership. This is foundational understanding of prayer. This is foundational. I know we sometimes look at prayer on a surface level, which is nothing wrong with that. But I want us to look at prayer on a foundational level. We're moving from a place of a contract with the Lord. So that means that the Lord has to do what he says. He has to do what is promised. And you're like, well, I don't know what God has said. You know where you find out where God has said? You look in the Word of God. You look in the Bible. The Bible is full of what God has said. And then we can rest assured in what it says in Numbers 23 and 19. It says this, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do? And or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? So God is letting you know, and the scripture is letting you know that God is going to fulfill what he has said. So once again, we are in constant contract with the Lord because he is always wanting to restore us back to the fulfillment of the relationship that he desired before sin entered in. The foundation of prayer starts there. It is not starting with you just saying whatever comes to your mind. While he will hear you, but there is a deeper understanding. So when we have a dominion, God has given us authority. What he is doing, he is desiring us to work with him. That is literally, God, I want to work in alignment with your purpose, seeking your wisdom and guidance on how is the best way to fulfill the role that he has given each and every one of us. That is the authority that we have given, right? So now let's go into the legal responsibility, which is stewardship. So this is the thing that when the Lord gave me understanding, I touched on this briefly last time, but when the Lord gave me some understanding about legal authority and how even God himself does not give, will not basically override the authority that he has given us, it kind of threw me off because I'm like, he's all knowing, he's sovereign, he's everything. God can do what he wants, which is true, but he's so wonderful to where the laws that he has placed that he has put in place, let it be spiritual laws and biblical principles, he himself has to abide by that because we just read that he is not a man that he shall lie. So he can't say, this is what I am going to do and turn around and say, no, that's not how this works. What God has established, it is so. There is no deviating from that. And the prayer and the hope is that we grow to that place in our walk with God, where God, whatever you have established, it is so. I will not deviate from that. We just read in Joshua how it said, if you follow the instructions, do not move to the left or to the right. Do not deviate from it. If you follow my words, follow my instructions, which is the word of God, you will be successful. So when we talk about our legal responsibility, which is stewardship, we have to look at this scripture right here. Psalms 115 and 16 says this: the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. So this statement may seem puzzling at first. So how can God, all-powerful, all-knowing, God choose not to exercise his direct authority over the earth? And this is how we understand it. Because, yes, God is sovereign, but yet he has delegated authority to us. This is what it means about being steward. Since he has delegated authority to us, there is a purpose in our authority. It is not meant for us to be reckless within our authority. Here's a simple example. For anyone that has a parent, that has a child and you're a parent, God has given you that child. It is now your responsibility to go back to the covenant that God has established to understand the purpose of you and your position as a parent, and now exercise that responsibility under the wisdom and the grace of God to raise that child that honors God. It is not that, oh, this is my baby and I'm gonna do what I want. This is my child and I'm going to live vicariously through my child. Absolutely not. This is why we have dedications and we have christenings when their babies are younger, because the whole point is, like, I'm giving this child back to God. God, I'm going to raise this child under your wisdom and your knowledge, because there is a covenant. I'm going to keep going back to this covenant. There is a covenant. So when we are praying, we have to go back to what he has established. But we don't know what he has established if we don't know God. How do we know God? We spend time with him. We are obedient, but also we hear him through his word. If you're someone that does not understand, there's different forms of learning, right? This is the beauty about living in this day and age. So you can listen to someone speak about the word of God. You can read scriptures. Like, I know several times throughout the week, I will start my day off with just putting on the Bible and it's just playing in the background and I'm listening to it. Then I have my times later on in the day where I actually do reading and I'm writing and all that type of stuff. And I'm going deeper within the Word of God. Now there's videos. So if you're someone who are like, I like videos, there's guides, there's Bible guides, study guides. So if you're someone who like, I like hands-on learning, all these things in order for me to understand my covenant. So I understand my authority and my power that God has given, my God-given authority and what God has established through Christ Jesus. I have to be his student. I have to see and understand him. I have to now take responsibility for what he has given. Some of us understand and have heard that parable of the talent. And so just real briefly, it is found in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. And just a quick synopsis of it. And please go and read these at a later time. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. And it talks about a rich man who has given his property to his servants before traveling. This man gives each servant a certain amount, right? And it's based off of their abilities. This is what I love. It is based off of their abilities. So one servant, he gave five. Second person, he gave two. Another one, he gave three. And the whole point of it, he wanted them to do something with it, right? What are you going to do with the abilities and the talents and the gifts that I've given you? Now, once again, like I've said, everything, and especially within God, it is multifaceted. So this parable, it does set the context for investments, actual financial investments. But the meaning goes beyond just financial investment. It teaches us that God has given each person gifts, and he expects us to use those gifts for his service, right? So tying this back in to the authority and the covenant that God has given us. What is our responsibility on how to steward, but yet how to use it? Whenever God has given you dominion over something, you can be reckless with it or you can multiply it. So our prayer life should lead us to a place of multiplication. Our prayer life should lead to a place of increase in whatever knowledge. Whatever physical thing that you need, our prayer life, if we're doing it with the alignment and the heart posture to work with God, it has no choice but to produce increase. Our prayer life has to go beyond just a venting session or a begging session. I'm not here to down or dismiss either of those, because here's the truth. There are times where I'm talking to the Lord, I'm like, I just need to get this off my chest. And there are times where I am like the woman in Luke 18, where I'm going to him over and over and over about the same thing. The Bible talks about the supplication. That means constantly praying about it. But I am anticipating that I will receive increase from my prayer. So prayer is always God saying, I'm trying to have you to get back into the fullness of my glory before sin entered in. So my another question I have for you, what is your expectations when you pray? Do you really have the heart posture of, I know that God is not a liar. I know that whatever he says is yes, and my response should be amen. I know that I can trust him. So whenever I speak something or if I hear something in prayer, my job is to now move on that and be the good steward that he is calling me to be and move in that instruction. So I have an expectation of I'm building my relationship with him, but also I am expecting natural manifestation at the same time. Because everything has to glorify, but God is God of fruit. He understands that we need tangible things in order to keep moving. So there was a time and point where I had to realize in my spirit, I was rejecting certain things. I was like, God, I just want all the spiritual stuff, which is beautiful And I do. I still want it. I still want more of his wisdom, his knowledge, his grace, his mercy, his correction, all of these things. But then there was a seed that was inside of me that was rejecting the actual tangible blessings that God wanted me to have. When he created the earth, he gave us dominion. He understand that we needed food. He understand that we needed provision. He understand that we needed shelter. He understood that we need abundance. When we talk about when sin entered in, if you go back into Genesis and read that, when Adam took that bite, before that, you will read, God said to them, you can eat of all of these trees. I have no idea what the all is. The Bible does not give a specific number. But I want you to imagine yourself being in a garden, a huge garden with, let's just say, 100 trees. God tells you, you can eat from all of these trees except for this. He desired us to live in abundance. There is no lack in God. So when I understand his covenant, the foundation of prayer, understanding his covenant, understanding that God has given me legal authority, understanding that he will not even override the structure of what he has put together, the contract that he has put together, because otherwise he would be seen as a liar, which we know he is not. All of these things allows us to say, God, I understand what you want. I understand. I have a deeper understanding of thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. When he's given us legal authority, here's the thing. All of us are going to walk this earth for a certain amount of time. So yes, while the scripture does tell us in Psalms that the highest heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to mankind, in Psalms, I want to say in Psalms 24, it says that the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. So everything belongs to him. And while everything belongs to the Lord, we have to remember that he has given us temporary authority here on earth. Why do I say temporary? Because we all know that one day we all will die. But while we are here, we have the responsibility and privilege to exercise our authority in a manner that brings God glory, to exercise authority that brings people into the kingdom, where we can literally call and say, Lord, let your will be done as it is in earth. I mean, as it is in heaven. Let your will be done, that kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What? That is an amazing, mind-blowing thought for me. We have that authority to call on the Lord because we are in covenant and because of Christ Jesus. And because he will not override what he has established, he is needing for us to rise up to say, thy will be done. We have the power and authority. I believe in 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, if my people who will call by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayers and I will heal their land. God is desiring us to seek him, pray, ask for his will to be done. Whatever we need to repent of, repent. Whatever we need to stop doing, stop doing. It just needs to be a decision that I'm going to follow God. I understand that we all have our struggles and we all have certain things that we battle with. But I need us to understand the moment that you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are no longer slave to that. You are no longer bound to that. So the hands of that does not have you. God has said, Jesus said, I have taken the blame of that. What you should have been going through, I took that from you. Now, here's the thing. Are there consequences from our actions? Yes. Because sometimes we learn our best from consequences. But God allowed each and every one of us through his son, Jesus Christ, to have authority to change this world, to have authority for our lives to represent Him, our lives to be a representation of the kingdom. So I really do challenge you to look at your life and say, you know what? Are there any areas that is not representing God and His promises and His covenant to me? I know I have some areas. Wherever that is, begin to study the Word of God and begin to pray and use Scripture as a way to call on the heartstrings and call on the authority for that to come into place. Then you can boldly say, I decree and I declare, because you know what is written. It's not from your emotional place. It's not from something you've heard, but it is from the Word of God. God loves when we say to Him, it is written. Jesus Himself had to tell the enemy, it is written. Jesus Himself had to say that to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He had to say that to His disciples. He said, it is written. So I suggest for all of us in our prayer life to say, it is written, because what it is written, what is written is His covenant that allows us to see our role. And from that we move, because James tells us that faith without works is dead. Then I call on the strength of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to teach me and to help me to fulfill what God has told me to do. What are you doing with your talents? What are you doing with your gifts? He desires us to increase in all areas. And I know some sections of Christianity doesn't like the conversation of increase. But it is really a biblical principle. It is the character of God. He literally told us in the beginning, be fruitful and multiplying. And we have narrowed that down to just children. What else are you multiplying? When you are coming together with someone, what are you multiplying? What are you increasing? So I pray this has given you some understanding and a deeper understanding of foundational truth of how prayer works, right? It's more than just a conversation, but it is literally a contract that He has given us, and we have an access to the contract. And then also we have authority and responsibility to fulfill what God has required and desires us to fulfill. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you just to repeat after me. Lord, I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe that You rose, You died and rose for me. I thank You for taking on the guilt and shame of my sins. If you have said that, you are saved. He is your Savior. You believe that He is your Savior. He has redeemed you from all sin. Look, that is what we believe, that He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. We are no longer bound to that. Now it is your responsibility. It is your God-given authority to learn more of Him. So I pray that you find a church home. And it takes time to find a church home. I understand, but find a church home that is Christ-centered, that you feel loved and you feel appreciated. Ask questions, all these things. Be eager about learning more of your Savior. And I pray that the rest of us have learned something. Go deeper within your prayer life. Add scriptures within your prayer life. Understand the promises. This is why in the New King James Version. Oh, I want to say in Malachi. I think I'm mixing up the books. But it says, prove me now, thus says the Lord. The only way we can prove God is by telling Him what He has said. That is what Moses did. When God was ready to kill all the Israel children, He said, but wait a minute, God, You promise. What would they say about You? But see, we have to know Him and we have to know who He is in order to have those conversations with God. Say, wait a minute, God, I know that You're a provider. God, I know that you're a healer. I need you to show yourself strong here. That is the authority to where we can boldly come to the throne and speak what thus says the Lord. God loves for his children to be audacious and bold. I don't know where we got this timid mess from, but that mess needs to go. Humility does not mean timid. Okay? I love you all. Before I get on my another rant, Lord, I thank you for every word that has spoken. I pray that we all have gained something, including myself. Let us go deeper with an understanding of what prayer is and even our authority in prayer based off of your covenants. Lord, I love you. We honor you and we adore you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Speak to you all next Friday.